We work hard at being healthier.
One,
and what we really need is better quality sleep. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep. It's the biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus special financing only for a limited time. To find your local Sleep Number store, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
To the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel, and thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the connection section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Now, this week's Art Bell iTunes 5-star rating and reviews is Razzie66, Not T-Pain, thankfully, Bastite Fan, Therminator86, Laurelin the Golden, Mo Is, MyKO666, Mijo155MM, Bass Cat Lil Dave, Nexus XX, Denver316 from the UK, Matt T1970 UK and Rye2016 from the UK. Thank you everybody for going to iTunes and leaving an Art Bell 5-star rating and review. If you are interested in having a shout out on next week's show, just go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review and you'll get that shout out on the following week's show. Now, we also do Patreon shout outs, and this is for people who go to patreon.com/theconfessionals. That's patreon.com/theconfessionals. And sign up to become a monthly contributor to this show. There's a lot of rewards in it for you, so check it out at patreon.com/theconfessionals. And this week's Patreon shoutouts is Brian G, Amy A, Chuck C, Jeffrey H, Josh K, Donnie A, Dennis F, Alan W, and Jody H. Thank you very much for going to Patreon and signing up to be monthly supporters to the show. It means a lot to me. I've emailed you guys and we have been in contact, so thank you very much. It means a lot to me. Now, I want to let you guys know this week's show is Matt coming on, and Matt has a lot of different haunting experiences that he's had throughout his life in a particular house that his mom bought. It all started with minor little things and kind of grew in severity as time went on to a point where he eventually had the main event of things that he saw happen in this house. I'm really excited to bring on Matt tonight. And after we bring on Matt, we're going to have a special guest appearance from Wes Germer for a few minutes. We're going to sit down and chat with him about some up and coming things. So let's get to it right after this. Okay, tonight we have Matt coming on, and Matt emailed me a few months ago, actually, and he has some paranormal experiences that he had together in one home that kind of led up to this more bigger episode that he's going to get into tonight. But first off, Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. Very good. So we were talking, and you're just in the Chicago area, and when you emailed me about a house that I think you grew up in it, right?
Yeah. I spent most of my growing up years in that house, about right up until just before I started high school when we moved out.
Gotcha. Okay. So these experiences that you're going to share tonight happened in this house, and there are several experiences that you had that kind of led up to an escalation of one more major experience. So why don't you just start talking to us about, you know, what are some of the things you experienced as a kid growing up that led to this main event?
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess probably the best way to start is my mom bought this house when I was six. And it's a Cape Cod style home. And definitely like a lot of things to understand is like the description of the house to follow through with what happened to me. And it has this large living room in the front of the house where on the one side you could walk through and go to the kitchen. And in the opposite corner of that is a little hallway where my mom's room was, and another bedroom and a bathroom. And if you come back up to the front of that living room, you'll see like the stairway going upstairs. And a lot of the big thing that started kind of a few months after we moved in is like footsteps. Like you would always hear someone walking around. No matter what, you knew where everyone was in the house, and you would always hear footsteps. Everyone was downstairs, you could hear someone walking from bedroom down the hallway upstairs. And it's same thing. If you were upstairs, you can hear someone down in the kitchen downstairs. It was constant, like throughout everything. And even like how you were saying earlier about how like to the escalation point, even after that, it was the footsteps kept going. And that was creepy enough. But as I got older, things started kind of being more different and like more direct towards me. I don't know if it's because I was the youngest one in the house or out of my siblings, I spent the most time in the house. There was like me, my older brother, and my older sister. Both of them, my older sister was probably in her like late teens, and my brother was in his early teens in high school. So like they were never around. And every now and then there'd be kind of like a weird thing with someone left a light on. We had like an attached garage, and that door would be left open, or like it would always kind of start a fight between us. And so my mom would be like, you know, who left all the upstairs lights on all day while no one was home? Well, none of us. So it was continuous kind of weird things like that. I can't believe one of you left the garage door open. Well, no one left the garage door open. We did have like another fridge in there to go and get drinks from, but it was always open the door, close the door, open the door, close the door. My mom was really meticulous about like saving money on energy bills. So from there in that living room, we had like the main TV in the house, which we only had two at the time. While you're sitting on the couch, you can like kitty corner, like peripheral vision, like see into that to the guest bedroom. And you'd always feel this weird feeling of like being watched, and no matter what, your eyes automatically go to that room. So like, if that wasn't creepy enough, it kind of changed to like seeing like a shadow of a person. It sounds so typical, but like darker than the room itself. Pass right by the door and go like to the back corner of that room. And it got to the point where it was happening so often, I just stopped watching TV downstairs. I would just always go up to my room. Wow. I spent all my time in my room. And usually when like something like that would happen, I was always by myself in the house. Like I wasn't alone all the time, but like whenever like my mom would go out, and it would always be on the weekends. Like, of course, my older brother and sister are gone anyway. So, excuse me. But so in being in my room all the time, like hearing everything downstairs was like footsteps and such, like it kind of escalated a little bit more. And I would never go investigate it. It would always be just play my Game Boy in my room until I pass out and I wake up my mom's home anyway, so we're all good. And sometimes even in my room, my bed was actually under the attic access. So you would hear footsteps in the attic. And then I would see the door for the attic. It was one of those, you just kind of like push it up and slide it over. I would see just a corner of it come up. And then it would slam down. So it was like almost like nowhere I can go in the house. Like I could actually escape what was happening. So like I was just always, always terrified to be alone. And I hated it. But it, you know, it's kind of one of those things you have to deal with when you're younger, I guess. My mom kind of played it off as like, you're just letting your mind play games on you. Just relax, like go to bed. And like all the doors are locked. No one's in the house. We live in a good neighborhood. You know, our neighbors are really close, but like they're right across the way. Like if anything happens, just call them or run over there, which I would never do anyway, because it would be way too embarrassing. Because my best friend, we were around the same age as my neighbor. So I'm not going to tell him I'm too scared to be home alone because I'll never hear the end of it. But so when you're upstairs and from my room, like I can stare straight down, like down my bed and then out the door of my room down the hallway. And I can see where the stairs go to go downstairs. And then in front of that is like my sister's room, like her door. And you can hear someone walking up that hall. So it's a constantly like always like leaning up, like sitting up in bed and looking down the hall and then nothing. Turn the lights on, grab the flashlight. There's no one home. Go back down, you know, lay back down, relax. Like, just try to convince myself that, like, this isn't happening.
Yeah, kind of like ignore it.
As best as I could. I mean, and it was constant. Like, in you know, being, I don't know, between the ages of 6 and 14 and having this constant thing like happen to you, like, I got used to it. But then, like, I could never really fully brush it off. Like, it could always be something that, like, was that noise just what normally happens, or is something actually going down, like, downstairs? Like, do I need to run downstairs and investigate, or do I just need to stay up here in my room and just calm myself down? To go back, I'm sorry, the attic door thing would happen all the time, especially when I was younger. And it got so bad that, like, my mom actually thought that we had like a rodent problem or something, like a squirrel would be able to pick up the attic. But so of course my older brother gets his BB gun and investigates the whole attic, nothing. And my mom's boyfriend went up there and checked for all types of holes or anywhere, like anyone could, any like rodent or animal or could get in, as you would think it would have to be something huge to make as much noise as was happening in that attic. And there's nothing. And we even had the like siding replaced, the whole roof replaced, like everything was all new, and there was no way something could have like made its way in without noticing, you know, like kind of like if it already looked like it was broken and garbage, like you can kind of guess that like an animal can make its way in, but when it was all brand new, like there's no way you would notice right away if there was a huge gaping hole. And that didn't make anything better, because I would just tell myself, oh, it's got to be an animal. It's got to be something that's happening, not just like something paranormal. And back then, I mean, I would have never thought that anyway, because there's no way I would have even stayed in that house if I actually thought it was a ghost.
Well, so hold on a second. So this stuff is happening around you, and even with this stuff happening around you, you weren't really thinking ghost.
No. Up until the point where, like, I would have seen like the shadow in that guest bedroom on the first floor. And that's when it kind of like peaked, like that interest in like, okay, well, like what could this be? And then trying to talk about it with my family, especially my siblings, that, you know, my brother would be like, oh, it's just the ghost in the house.
He said nonchalantly. So you didn't believe him, or at that point you did believe him?
No, of course I didn't believe it. My older brother. So like, okay, you know, like you're just trying to get me scared. Like I'm not going to pay attention to you. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way it's a ghost house. There's no way it's haunted. Like, that's in movies. You know, all the scary movies you want me to watch anyway, because we share a room. We shared a room at that point. So it was just, it was ridiculous what I had to put up with my older brother.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, so you're experiencing these things in the house, like, you know, what sounds like footsteps and the attic door opening and closing. And but those are all things that, you know, if you're looking to explain away and find an alternate source of explanation, you definitely could do that. I mean, you know, how many times do you hear people say that, oh, it's just a house settling, you know, that's an explanation, or a draft in the attic that maybe is opening or closing the door. And I was going to ask you about that, but, you know, it seems like if there's a new roof and things like that on the house, it doesn't seem like having a draft would be, you know, an option there for an explanation.
No, there's no way. We didn't have any of those side vents, like up in the peak of the roof anyway, to like cause any sort of draft that could do that. And besides, like, the door sits down in the 2x6s. That, you know, the stringers that run across to hold the ceiling up and like in the bedrooms. So like that draft would have to be hard enough to like get down through like the 2x6 and lift up the 3/4-inch plywood to then let it slam back down again. And it's not like it was even, it was always from one corner. And you could tell because like the trim that like on the ceiling that held that piece of plywood up in that corner where it was getting slammed, it was like starting to get loose. So like it was, I don't think I actually put that in the email. That was actually probably a big thing that I should have told you about, but that's what like started like the escalation. So a few months of just kind of dealing with like the footsteps and the attic door and, you know, kind of always being when I'm downstairs watching TV and seeing something moving in that back bedroom, or, you know, like hearing some faint whispers like in the house. And that could, I could definitely contribute that to like, it could be wind or like the house settling because of how like faint it was. But like from over watching TV to like pausing it, did someone just say something, you know, like, you know, that feeling?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, did I hear something else coming from a different part of the house? But from there, I'm at home. Everyone's out of the house. I'm pretty sure it was like, it had to be like a Friday or Saturday night. And I'm watching TV downstairs. And then I just get that weird feeling of being watched. So then I just shut the TV off, go to my room. You know, at that point, I'd finally got a TV in my room. It was awesome. So I'm, you know, playing Sega, you know, probably Sonic.
Yeah.
In my room. And, you know, I get thirsty. So, like I said before, we had an attached garage and there's a fridge with, you know, pop and juices and stuff like that in the garage. So I walk all the way downstairs, you know, go across the living room. You got to go through the kitchen. And after the, when you're going through the kitchen, after that, there's like a small little like family room. We had a small fireplace. And from there, you can get to the door to the attached garage. So I go in and get my drink. I come in and I close the door of the garage. And as I'm coming back into the kitchen, every single door, drawer, appliance door, everything is open. I didn't hear a noise, anything. And I mean, every drawer in the fridge, we had these tall pantries next to the fridge that had pull-out drawers. All those drawers were open. The oven was open. The racks in the oven were slid out. The bottom drawer on the oven was open. Like, I'm surprised the thing didn't fall over. But, I mean, like, everything. And I flipped out. I slammed all the drawers. I put everything as close, you know, as close to get back together as possible. I grabbed the cordless phone. I ran back up to my room, slammed the door behind me, lock it. Like, that's going to help. And I immediately call my mom and I'm like hysterically crying. And she's telling, and she's not even paying attention to what I'm saying. They're telling me to calm down. If it's really that bad, like, just call the cops. And she hung up the phone.
She hung up the phone on you?
Yeah. Like, way into the future is kind of one of those things, like, remember when I was terrified and you just hung up on me? And she's like, you know, oh no, of course I don't remember that. Like, yeah, you know, I'm sure you do.
Wow.
That was, and actually my, like, talking about doing this interview with you and being on the podcast and talking to my sister, she brought up the same thing. Her and my mom were decorating for some holiday. My mom's one of those people that has decorations for every single holiday. Like for the entire house, St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, you know, everything. So they're putting up decorations, and we had a big bay window in the living room, and they're putting the lights up in the window, and they heard this huge crash sound come from the kitchen. And she said all the cabinet doors and drawers were open. Not the appliances, she didn't remember, but all the cabinet doors and drawers were open. But the weird thing from like happened to her to me is that she actually heard the sound. I didn't hear any sound. And from like by the front window to the kitchen, and then from the kitchen to the garage, it's pretty evenly spaced out. Like there's not as you know, there's not any many like different walls to block the sound from happening. So like what happened to me was silent, which is probably even more creepy. But like for what happened to her and my mom, there was just this huge sound, and then everything was open. And it was in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that's trippy. I mean, so that loud bang that she heard, do you think that was maybe all the doors opening up simultaneously?
Or maybe all the drawers with like the utensils and stuff in it opening?
Yeah.
Like that's like, that's kind of what like trips me out the most about it is that I had like the oven door and the shelves in the oven open and I heard nothing still. I mean, maybe I was completely not paying attention to anything and just worried about getting a Pepsi, but it's just so strange to me how like those were almost the exact same thing, but then almost differ so much. And because like, so what was the intention? And it's not like, you know, a truck was driving down the street or something and the house shook a little bit. And that's what you heard. Like, no, like everything was open and pulled out.
This is Darren Marlar from the Weird Darkness podcast, and you're listening to The Confessionals.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I think you said that in order to get to the garage, you had to go through the kitchen, right?
Correct.
Okay, so from the time that you exited the kitchen and went into the garage to the time that you got back into the kitchen, saw all those doors and everything open, how long are we talking here, roughly?
5 to 10 seconds, maybe a little bit longer. I mean, we're talking a matter of maybe 12 steps there and back.
Did you have the, I don't expect you to remember this if you don't, but do you remember closing the door behind you to go into the garage, or did you leave it open?
I left it open.
Okay. So you're home alone and you're in there, let's just say 15 seconds. All right. That's generous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so generously speaking, you're 12 years old, you go through the kitchen, you go into the garage, you get yourself a juice box or whatever it was, and you go back in the kitchen and everything's open. So about 15 seconds time period, you left the door open, you didn't hear anything, and all of a sudden it's all changed around. I would imagine that if somebody was at home trying to play a prank on you, you still would have heard them because the door was open.
And it would have taken a lot longer than just 15 seconds.
Absolutely.
Every drawer open quietly and open all the doors, you know, and, you know, the oven and the fridge and, you know, like the vegetable drawer in the fridge and all, everything like that was open.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that seems like a pretty freaky situation for a kid to go through. I mean, I don't care who you are, that there's something off about that. And as long as you're, you know, probably 5 years old, 5 years old or older, you're going to think there's something crazy going on here, you know? So I can't imagine how you felt. And I imagine, you know, I would have called my mom too. So, these things are going on in the house. You're experiencing these different types of things. When you saw the shadow figure and stuff, how long of a period of time was it that you actually laid eyes on it? And I think you said it happened multiple times, right?
Yeah. And it even happened, you know, after like kind of like the big climax thing that had happened in the house. But it, from first happening to the kitchen, it was probably like about a year, because I mean, it would happen like every few months. Like you'd see the shadow every few months. And then it went from just not being downstairs at all to being in my room whenever I was home alone, to then going downstairs to go, you know, go to the garage and get a drink and coming back and find the kitchen a disaster.
And when you actually laid eyes on it, how long was it though? Like, I mean, are we talking about a few seconds, or was it standing there for minutes and you're just staring at this thing freaked out?
No. It was very quick. And it would almost be like, it would know that you were going to look at it and then just step far back enough in the room so you can't see through the doorway. Like you can't see that corner of the room through the doorway and from the couch and like the angle you're looking at it at.
I got you. That makes sense. And I mean, I've seen, I wouldn't say shadow figures, but I've said this before, in my old apartment that I used to live in, where I sat in my, you know, everybody has their favorite spot in their living room to sit and watch TV. And I had a chair that I loved sitting in, but you could see down the hallway on an angle though. So you really couldn't see the whole hallway front on. And my wife had pictures lined up down the hallway, and you could see reflection when somebody walked by. And consistently, almost every time I sat down in that chair, whether she was home or not, the last picture down the hallway, I would see a reflection, like somebody walked out of my bedroom and was going into the bathroom. And I consistently would see that. And I don't know what ever happened with that. I just know that was happening. And there was times I'd walk back there to see if she was back there. Nope, she's not back there. And so I was just like, well, there's something freaky going on here. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm not the Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, what am I going to do? There's nothing I can do about it. So, yeah, I mean, so it's just like, it's just the fact that there's something creepy going on here. I wouldn't even say it was creepy, because I really wasn't freaked out about it. I mean, maybe the first couple times, but eventually, I mean, you know this, I'm sure. It happens so many times, you just kind of like, yeah, it's what happens, you know, it's just like whatever, you know. So you know,
yeah, it's like you just get the point where you're just brushing it off. And
exactly,
and for me, especially it happening being alone, like, yeah, I could brush it off, but it's still just that uncomfortable feeling. It's like, you know, I'll just go to my room. Like I don't need to watch, you know, the big screens. Like I'll just go to my room.
Yeah, I get that. I absolutely get that. You know, it's just one of those things where I think people just get numb to it and they just, you know, gloss over it. Now, when it comes to the attic door opening, that's something I think I wouldn't get numb to. I think even if I tried explaining it, I worked up some kind of, you know, rationale in my mind that, okay, it's probably this. Every time it happens, I'd probably be freaked out, because I mean, if my door to the studio here just opened by itself and closed by itself, I don't care how many times that happens, I'm gonna have a problem with it. You know what I mean? So
you always just go run up and grab the door and open it like someone's gonna be there messing with you.
Yeah.
I wish I could have done that, but even if I stood on my bed, I wasn't tall enough to push open the attic door and see what was going on.
And that's what I was gonna bring up, the fact that this was in your room, right? The attic door.
Yeah.
Do you ever get the sense that something was singling you out at all in the house? I mean, you said your sister experienced something similar, but that's, as far as I know, I mean, maybe you know more, but that's one time. You've experienced so many different things here so far. Did you ever get a feeling that maybe something was paying attention to you more than everybody else in the house?
Yes. But then again, trying to get any, like, my brother, sister, and my mom to talk about anything like that is like pulling teeth for some reason. So even when I was younger and trying to talk to them about it, it was always, you know, like, oh, you're just a kid, you're just scared of the dark, you know, go back to bed, or, yeah, you know, go do your homework kind of thing. And so then, yeah, absolutely. It felt like it was singling me out, because I didn't have any anyone else's experiences to go off of. Okay, so like, oh, this has happened to you also? Like, no, I had none of that. So it was all just me.
I got you.
And it was pretty terrifying, you know, like, and like now, what, 14 years later, it's kind of one of those where it's like, oh yeah, it's just that thing that happened to me in my old house, you know, like, but in my head, I remember everything. And cause it's just one of those things. I'll remember it till the day I die. It stuck with me.
Yeah.
Like, especially the kitchen, and then the next, well, where I was going to go is, so from being home alone and then going to bed, there would be like, so from, you come up the stairs and then you hit a wall. So you could either make a left and go into my sister's room, or a right and you can walk down the hallway and open my door and go to my room. So I always sleep with my door closed. Always have, always will. And it probably is from this and always hearing someone like walking that hall in front of my door whenever I'm trying to go to bed. And it happened the same time as with the issue with the kitchen. So when I went up back to my room, you know, after I got hung up on my mom, of course, I'm trying to go to bed and it sounds like someone's pacing my hallway. It was, I got goosebumps just talking about it. It's so scary, I guess is a word. I can't think of anything else to say. It was just one of those, like you honestly think someone's in your house and trying to hurt you. And being so young, it was just terrifying. Sorry, I mean, I don't have much more to say. Like it just kind of like, I'm gonna say like captivates you to like, that's all you think about whenever you're home. Like, what's going to happen next? What's going to be the next thing? Especially after you just had to deal with your entire kitchen exploding open.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that happened is, at that time, I wasn't even home alone. It was a weekday. And I was maybe 12 or 13. So my sister was staying, practically living with her boyfriend. So she was never home. And my brother was either a junior or senior in high school. Had to be a junior, sorry. And whenever my brother would come home, he always would like jump up the stairs, like just skip steps. So like he would jump three steps at a time, and you can almost time it like when you would start to see him like come up the stairs, because we had this bookcase in between like the stairs, and there was like a small little like playroom in off the hallway, like before you got to my door. And if you were walking up the stairs, when like the floor for the upstairs starts, you couldn't see over. We didn't have a railing there. We had like a bookcase and had like shelves on each side of it. And it was about 3 feet tall. So you had to get almost to like the third or fourth step, you know, like the second or third step from the top before you'd actually like start seeing someone's head come over like the bookcase and what you can watch them walk up the stairs, at least from like my bed. And so when my brother come home, you know, you can hear like the back door slam and then him walking through the house and jump the stairs, you know, jump, jump, jump. And you'd start to see his head. And then he'd come upstairs and come into the room. And one night, like my mom and her boyfriend are home and they're sleeping, and it's probably, you know, maybe like 11, and I'm watching TV in my room quietly. Cause even to this day, I'm a night owl. I don't sleep really well. And I hear my brother, or at least what I thought was my brother, jumping up the stairs. So like immediately shut the TV off, put the blanket over my head, you know, pretend I'm sleeping, cause I don't want him to out me to my mom and then I'm going to be in real trouble.
Right.
And I didn't hear him come in my room. So I take the blanket off, and I'm looking down the hall, and I'm looking at the bookcase, and I don't see anyone standing there or anyone's head, like, just poking over the bookcase. And then I hear just stomp, 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 like someone running down the stairs and almost like putting all their body weight into each step they're taking down the stairs and just pounding every step all the way down to the first floor. So I waited. And then I heard jump, jump, jump again. And you're thinking, I know by the fourth jump, I'm going to start seeing, you know, my brother Mark's head come over the bookcase, and it would stop right there and I would see nothing. And then again, pounding all the way down the stairs. So at this point, I just kind of like, okay, you know, I yell out, you know, like, okay, Mark, you scared me. Come in the room, you know, like, you know, this is over. Like, you got me. Just let me be. And then it would jump up the stairs again and stop. And then it pounded all the way down. So at this point, I just honestly think it's my brother screwing with me. I'm kind of not even paying attention. And then finally, the loudest it was jumping up the stairs, I look back over, and it doesn't go back down. It felt like maybe 30 seconds, almost a minute I was waiting. It could have been shorter. But in staring at the stairs from where like the floor meets the bookcase and then the stairs are behind it, flat against the floor, this face comes like straight out, like if its ear was dragging on the floor and you can just see his head come past the bookcase and it's just staring at me. It had no mouth. Really, like, I'm trying to think of an example. I don't know if you've seen Wolverine Origins.
Probably not.
It was a terrible movie anyway, but they tried to make, you know, Deadpool look differently, but he had these like super sunken eyes. And they made him look like really big because I think they'd like cut his eyelids off or something, and his mouth was sewn shut. So all I could see is these giant sunken eyes looking at me. And we stared at each other maybe 15, 20 seconds and just like nothing, like just dead, locked eyes to eye. And then it smiles. But like full ear to ear, huge buck teeth, like smile. And I was trying to explain to my girlfriend like what its smile looked like. And the only thing I can come up with is if you've seen those like dog treat commercials where it looks like they put the fake dentures in the dog's mouth and they're just these huge buck white teeth. That's the kind of teeth it had. And it completely faded out. It completely vanished. And about 15 minutes later, I hear the back door open and close, and my brother jump up the stairs, come into the room, and I'm just laying back in bed. Eyes wide open. He paid absolutely no attention to me. He lays down and goes to bed. So he wasn't even home. So there's no way that it could have been him with like a mask or my eyes playing tricks on me. Like, I know I saw this thing. And even to this day, there's still a lot of like memories and stuff like from childhood, even like parties or, you know, like sometimes like my aunt will be like, oh, you remember the bike I got you when you were 11? No. A lot of what I remember about that house and the house that we lived in before that, I really don't. But I like completely, like my brain stops and focuses on that face. Like every time I'm trying to think back about something, because like, it's just, it's there. I wish I was good at drawing. I could draw something and send you a picture, but I'm not. I don't know. It still like haunts me to this day, thinking about it.
You want to know how I got these scars? My father was a drinker and a fiend. And one night, he goes off crazier than usual. Mommy gets the kitchen knife to defend herself. He doesn't like that. Not one bit. So, me watching, he takes the knife to her, laughing while he does it. He turns to me, and he says, "Why so serious?" He comes at me with the knife. "Why so serious?" Sticks the blade in my mouth. Let's put a smile on that face. And why so serious?
Do you know what the most frightening thing in the world is?
They will say that I have shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding?
There's nothing to worry about. You're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan.
She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Wait right there, Mr. Bonneau.
How do you know my name?
I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell him my name.
They're all a part of it. They're all pods, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
I'm scared to close my eyes. I'm scared to open them. I'm gonna die out here.
Now clear your mind. Your nose is what scares you. It has from the very beginning.
If this thing shows itself to you, and I mean, as far as you know, as far as I know, nobody else has been shown anything in the house other than you. So you're experiencing this and it shows itself to you. It singles you out. And on top of that, all your other experiences, I can definitely, I get the vibe that it paid, at least it paid more attention to you than anybody else. And that could scar anybody, really. This face that you saw, you said that it had the dark sunken eye. I think you said it was dark. Like what I picture is black eyes, like just these black empty hole eyes looking at you, and just this weird looking face. I remember in the email you said that the skin was tight and the nose was small. You know, no mouth. How did it smile at you with no mouth? How'd that whole thing work?
So as it, you know, it's like you have kind of like a resting face and you start to smile and your cheeks kind of curl up when you smile. It started that with its face, and then the mouth appeared like open from the center out to like, you know, the half moon shape to its ears, or where its ears would be. But it just had this perfect half moon shape and just massive teeth. Like this guy's dentist was awesome. It was just like from out of nowhere. So like you just saw the cheek movement and then full mouth appeared.
Okay. So do you think that, that we're dealing with supernatural things here? Okay. So, who knows what could happen? I mean, this freaking face appeared before you. Do you think that this is something where it didn't have a mouth, and when it, as it starts smiling, the mouth appeared? Or do you think maybe that there was a mouth there, but you just couldn't see? Maybe it was tight-lipped or something. I don't know. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to draw a picture here as to possibilities of what was going on there. Because what you just told me is something that similar to what I heard in another story that was told to me on an old member show from the website. And this guy talked about he didn't, to be honest with you, I don't think he really knew what he encountered. I think initially he told me it was a Bigfoot, but then what he described, I think he was like, I don't know if it's Bigfoot or Dogman. I don't think he really understood totally what he experienced, but what he did experience was this thing staring at him. And then he said it smiled, and he said the smile went from ear to ear, this giant grin. And he actually sent me a picture off the internet of some other, you know, creepy looking face with a giant grin. He's like, this is the grin that I saw. And so, you're not the first person that's told me that they saw something completely out of the ordinary, completely freaky, and then it smiles at them. And it's weird that these types of things happen where people experience scary, paranormal, supernatural type experiences, and whatever it is that's freaking you out smiles at you. Did you get a sense that it smiled at you from the standpoint of trying to scare you, or because I'm sure it scared you, or do you think it smiled at you like it was familiar with you? What kind of vibes did you get when that happened?
Kind of like it when, I don't even, that same feeling you get, like if you're arguing with somebody and they're extremely calm and they just kind of give you that look and just a small smile, like they already know they won the argument and you're just arguing for no reason. So like they have the upper hand on you. And you just at that point kind of feel like I should just shut my mouth. I wouldn't say it was like anger or like in like trying to hurt me. I mean, absolutely scared me, but it was kind of one of those like I'm smiling at you because I know I can do this to you and get away with it.
I got you.
That's the feeling.
So, I mean, this thing, and you only saw a head, right? Like you didn't see any other part of the body or anything like that.
Not even a neck. And like I said, like ear to ear smile. If I could see the ears, like it was just face, no ears, you know, just chin, mouth, eventually then the nose and the eyes and the forehead, no hair, just the face and flat against the floor.
What color was the skin?
It was semi-translucent, so like you could almost make out what was behind it, but then like kind of dark enough in form so that you can actually like make it out in the darker, well, from the a little bit of ambient light coming in from the one window that goes over the hallway from that little playroom, so you could totally see features, but it's not like bright enough to where you can, you know, like as someone have all the lights on or something like that. But from the skin color, it's more of like a translucent white.
Okay. Now, I actually did a show with somebody else early on, and this guy told me the story of where his mom was like kind of, I don't know. Like she was like an on-call exorcist. Okay. Like I titled the show, The Emergency Exorcist. It's episode 9. And this guy shares the stories of where his mom would be called by people from their church and she would go and, you know, pray and stuff like that. But like, she was kind of, I don't know what else to call her, but an exorcist. All right. That's what she was. And I think it was the first story.
I remember the episode.
All right, so you remember the episode. So the first episode or the first part of the show, I think it was, where he said that she went into the house and on, I think he said it was on a staircase, was this lady's daughter. And then I think there's like a head. I think he might, I can't remember if he said it was like attached to her behind her.
Or like right behind its shoulder or her shoulder.
Yes, yes, yes. And it when it would talk and move its mouth, she would say something. And it was just like this like floating head. And so, I mean, like, that's something that I've heard before on the show. I've heard it off the show. Like, these kind of things happen. And I don't quite understand why it's just a head. I mean, why not a whole apparition? Why just a head? I it just gets me. I don't understand why.
I don't understand it. And actually, I think I started listening to your show maybe right around December, and then I started binge listening all the past episodes, which I wish there were more because I've listened to them all. But when I heard that episode, that's what kind of like I immediately started talking to my girlfriend about, like, I should write in and tell him my story, because it was the head that was, that just thinking about that, immediately I remember the face I saw. And it's like, okay, well, I need to tell Tony this. And that, like, from that episode, it was the reason why I wrote to you.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's interesting because that episode popped up in my head, and, you know, the patrons get to listen live and stuff. And one of the patrons mentioned that episode too. And I was like, wow, it's funny. We're all thinking about the same thing right now. it's definitely a creepy, eerie experience. I mean, you got a face looking at you with dark, deep, black, sunken eyes, tight skin. And, you know, it's just no mouth, and then a mouth appears. So I guess that's what you're standing on right now, right? Like, I'm trying to draw that picture out and stuff, because I mean, you say there's no mouth, and then it smiles. So it's like, it didn't have a mouth, and then it smiled, and then the mouth appeared as the muscles of the cheeks started smiling.
Correct. So unless it was, you know, sucking in its lips so that you couldn't see the lips, then yeah, the mouth just appeared.
Gotcha. And let me ask you this. Was the mouth, once it appeared and you see this smile, and you mentioned about the teeth and stuff, was the smile abnormally large?
Huge. Huge. I mean, like, from nose to the bottom of its chin. I mean, like, from, like, the widest part, I mean, at least 3 inches, 2 inches. And then, you know, gradually getting smaller as it's arching up in the smile.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
What? Why is that?
Well, because I like I said, I've heard of these kind of stories before. And more often than not, when somebody says it smiled at them, the smile is abnormally large, and it's something that sticks out in a person's head. Like, you would think that the black eye sunking in was probably the most defining feature of this thing. But the fact that it smiled at you all of a sudden takes the attention away from everything else, because it's a creepy experience. And now this creepy experience that you're having is smiling at you. And the smile is, more often than not, that I've heard several accounts. I can't count. I probably can count them on my one hand. You know, some, let's just say around 5 times I've heard this, where somebody says they saw a face or an apparition where it's a full body thing, and it smiled at them. And when it smiled at them, the smiling went from ear to ear. And it's just something that I had a feeling you were going to say.
That's crazy. I mean, I haven't heard any other story, even somewhat similar to my story with the smile, you know, especially pertaining to the smile. And I'm, you know, kind of a podcast paranormal supernatural junkie, and I listen to every show, everything out there. Excuse me. And I haven't heard anything about, like, something smiling like that. I know you said you had an older show, like a member show.
Yeah,
I called it.
I'm gonna actually be releasing some of the old member shows as public shows, because the people that were members on the website paid for that. And I think that they should have the opportunity to hear that whenever they want. So I'm going to make them public shows gradually. But I'll probably make that one of my first ones I release. It's like a 2-hour show. And this guy goes into this details of getting lost in the Smoky Mountains and what happened to him out there. And he ran into this thing. He had lots of different weird experiences that night. But he saw this thing, and I think he said it was a full body apparition, or maybe, I can't remember all the details, but I remember him saying that it smiled at him. And when he's telling the story, he's breaking down, like, he started crying because it affected him that much. Just like how you, when you were telling the story and stuff, you started getting the goosebumps and things like that. Like, this guy, like, when he started describing the face and that it smiled at him, you could hear it in his voice. It brought back all those memories, and it started scaring him again. And so this is something that definitely I've heard before. And that's just one story that I can recall, because I actually interviewed the person, but I've heard other people, you know, recount similar things, you know. And this guy was saying Bigfoot or Dogman. Like, that's the only thing he could describe it as. He's like, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, like, I got the sense that he wasn't totally sure what he saw, but it was something crazy. And so, I mean, it just makes you wonder what these things are. I'm just in general, you know, you hear these things where the lines get blurred. Like, people want to say UFOs are UFOs, Bigfoot's Bigfoot, and ghosts are ghosts. But then you hear these parallels that match between different stories, and it makes you wonder what's really going on here.
Yeah, I don't know if I would almost be more comfortable having that happen out in the woods somewhere and not in your bed in your house.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's like you can actually go home and get away from that. Not that it happened at your house and, you know, you're a kid and you can't move out and you're stuck there.
And nobody's believing you. Your mom hangs up on you when you talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It explodes and your mom hangs up on you. It's just, oh, that's insane. I'm still blown away that you've heard about this before because I haven't.
Well, I mean, you're a listener of the show, so just keep an ear out for it. I have no idea when that's going to get released. I mean, I have so many shows that need to get released, but when it gets released, the title of it is something like Lost in the Smoky Mountains or something like that. Like he got lost in the Smokies for a night, and he describes what happened to him that night. And, you know, when you see that pop up, you'll know that's the show.
I just wrote it down. I'm definitely listening to that. That's for sure.
So, I mean, Matt, you had this experience and you've heard my show. You've heard tons of different experiences that people have had with, you know, Bigfoot, Dogman, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, you know, whatever it is. Right. But these are your particular experiences and you saw a face. It appeared before you. It smiled at you and it had unnatural features like the black eyes that are sunken in. Like, you know, this wasn't just your brother goofing around. Like, this was something paranormal. With that said, you know, you went through your entire life after this and leading up to this moment, and you remember this thing and you racked your brain about it. What's your conclusions as to what that was? And because everybody has their own ideas and there is no wrong answer to this. But what you experienced, let's just call it a ghost for generic terms, okay? The ghost you experienced, what do you think's going on there? I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, you know, some people think that, you know, ghosts are demons. Some people think that ghosts are, you know, leftover spirits for that, you know, of a family member or somebody that lived in that house or leftover energy. What are your thoughts on that topic, man?
You know, I do kind of, you know, toe the line of like a ghost is, it could be many different things, you know, like somebody who lived in the house or who's attached to it and is still there, or it could have been something demonic just trying to, you know, torture me being the youngest of the family, probably the most vulnerable, or some sort of energy that can manifest itself in certain ways and lift objects and move things around. And It's kind of like when you said conclusions in my head. I mean, I don't have a conclusion. I mean, I still don't know exactly what it was. But if I had to put a name on it, part of me wants to lean more to the, you know, ghost, as in ghost, like someone who won't move on and is stuck in the house. Or there's the other part of me that maybe it was more towards the demonic side, for like mostly for the reason that like it just felt very pointed to me. And I think if it was just a spirit that wants to be in that house, it would have been doing it a lot more to my other family members. And I know like my sister had just recently told me about what happened to her, but that was just one thing. And everyone would hear the footsteps, but nothing on the lines of actual like apparition, like actually showing itself to me. Like, I haven't heard anything like that from my family. So I guess I really don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, earlier in this interview, just a few minutes ago, actually, you said that you're a paranormal junkie. Did this kind of start that, or were you like that your entire life? Or was this something that kind of pushed you into, you know, becoming a paranormal junkie? Or is this being a paranormal junkie more recent?
No, it definitely, from that point on, I really don't know why it sparked this huge thing, because you think for how bad it scared me, I never wanted to see something like that again. But that's mostly all I'm interested in as far as what I listen to, what I watch, entertainment-wise, you know. I mean, next to Ghost, it's Bigfoot, and now Dogman is what I really want to get into.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I'm into all of it. All of it equally, really, anymore. I mean, I definitely find an interest in a lot of these things. And like I said to you earlier, stuff, one of my biggest pushes right now is trying to understand the parallels between these different categories and stuff, because they're definitely parallels. And a lot of times people are trying to deny those parallels. They don't want to admit that they exist. And I'm kind of geared differently, because I don't really care what the answer is. I just would like to have the answer. I don't care if aliens exist or they don't exist. It doesn't bother me either way. I just want to know. You know what I mean? Like, that's just where I'm at right now with things. Like, yeah, is Bigfoot, you know, a flesh and blood, you know, a hairy monkey walking around the woods? Or is it, you know, this paranormal alien that came from galaxies away? Or is it Nephilim? Or is it more of a spiritual, supernatural, ghostly thing? I don't care what it is. I just want to have the answers. You know what I mean? I have my own personal opinions as to what's going on with Bigfoot. But, you know, until we all, you know, have 100% proof of a body or something like that, or if it has a body, you know, we're never going to know. But I just, that's why I don't really care what anybody has to say when it comes to their own opinions and stuff, because right now everybody's opinion is valid, because we don't have the answers for anything. Everybody wants to pretend and think they have answers, but nobody really has answers. And so until then, everybody has, you know, valid points to share.
Yeah. Everyone's guessing.
Exactly.
And pretty much all you can do is tell your own story, because I mean, every person's individual, I mean, experience, not story, but it is very unique in its own different way. And I don't know, like it, that point, it's just so strange to think, like, from how many people have experiences even similar or less than mine. And even from people I've talked to through friends and meeting people, there's always like that thing that happens to them stays with them for the rest of their life. So, and you can tell when someone's telling you the story that like how true it is, just from their emotion, their body language, their facial expression, everything. So like, you know, like whatever, how small or big their experience was, it's completely affecting them. So like, it had to be true. Why would all these different people lie if you know, ghosts aren't real, or demons aren't real, or Dogman, or Sasquatch, or, you know, there's something to it, but no one has that, like, that final connection to, like, hold down the truth of what exactly it is.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. Absolutely get it. Well, Matt, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences and stuff. I mean, I probably would be pushed into paranormal investigation and being a junkie myself if I had that. For me, I haven't had a ton of experience. I've had experiences. I've shared them on the show, but nothing that I consider really crazy. But here I am hosting a podcast, letting other people share their experiences. And I appreciate you coming on and talking about it, man.
Thank you, Tony. And that story you told about your grandpa and the angels, I mean, that one like practically moved me to tears, and it was just awesome. I love your show, and thanks for having it out with people like me.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. So you take care, man. And if you ever get back to that house and stuff, let me know what happens.
I don't think I'll be doing that.
All right, man. Take care. Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, there are three things you can do to help support the show. One, you can go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Two, you can go to patreon.com/theconfessionals and become a patron of the show. And last but not least, you can go ahead and share this show around on social media. Go ahead and share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't even know what a Snapchat is, but I come from the era of landlines, so what do I know? But go ahead and share it around social media, and that will help out the show a lot. And I want to say sorry to Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles for not having you on the show. I simply ran out of time. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And remember, the truth will set you free, but first, it will piss you off.